Four and a half months ago, less than 500 yards from here, a whole fleet of fire engines, 9 police cars, sniffer dogs, all descended on a house just round the corner. It was a house filled with clutter and litter. When the fire started, there was no stopping it. The house was burned. 2 people lost their lives. Playing with fire is dangerous. Playing with fire is deadly. Remember, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? Can you mess about and not be scarred? 2 Samuel chapter 11. Unholy fire. Number 1, lust. Number 2, lies. Number 3, loss. Painful. Dreadful. Awful loss. Remember that David, the man after God's own heart, has been crowned the king of Hebron for 7 years plus. Then crowned the king of Israel in a united kingdom. He has defeated his enemies and he's now king of kings in the region. He is 50 years of age. He's at the zenith of his influence and power. And it is springtime. We read, in the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon. When David arose from his couch and was walking on the roof of the king's house, that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. And David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So David sent messengers, and took her. And she came to him. And he lay with her. Now she'd been purifying herself from her uncleanness. Then she returned to her house, and the woman conceived, and she sent and told David, I'm pregnant. Lust. It begins with pride in David. You see, he was once a leader. You know what a leader does? A leader leads his people. He's now become a dictator, a director. Someone else go and do it. Here am I, send Joe. In this case, here am I, send Joab. It's springtime. It's wartime. David had always been in the front line. He'd always set the example. But not this time. Not only, but there's neglect. Do you believe this? He's not only sending them to battle, but he's in a bedroom. In the middle of the day. He's neglecting his duty. He's thinking, well, I'm all right now. I can just take it easy. And not only so, there's sloth, isn't there? Laziness. He comes to the porch, stretches out his arms. He's been having a good sleep, and the devil makes work for idle fingers. There is safety in duty. Never forget that. And there's fantasy. David, what are you doing, man? What are you doing in bed in the afternoon? And what are you doing stretching out? And what are you doing looking at that woman? I mean, it's not just one look, is it, David? Nor is it just two looks, is it? It's a longing, leering look, time and time again. You can't take your eyes off her. Now listen, friends. The Bible makes it plain that the three most beautiful women that ever lived were Sarah, Esther, and Bathsheba. I mean, Bathsheba dressed in a pair of jeans and a t-shirt would be absolutely gorgeous. Dressed in her rags and in her pajamas, she would turn heads. Maybe she knew that. But Bathsheba undressed, well, that's a different matter altogether. I mean, David, if you're going to stare, then stare, but that's all you're going to do, man. Don't do anything else. You see, he starts to fantasize. What would it be like to have her, to conquer her, to lay with her, to touch her? Now, the rot has already set in. If you're into pornography, you better listen to this. If you're in the grip of pornography, you better listen to this. Pornography by C.S. Lewis has been described as the ever-increasing desire for the ever-decreasing pleasure. In other words, when you open up your life to pornography, a roaring, roaring monster comes out, an all-consuming monster. You think you can control it, but it controls you. Already the rot set in. Deuteronomy chapter 17 and verse 17. The Lord had made it plain that if anyone was to be the king of Israel, he was not to multiply his wives. David has already multiplied wives. And not only so, but in 2 Samuel 5 verse 13, we're told that he has lots of concubines. He already has a harem full of women. You feed your libido, it will not satisfy you. It will be an insatiable, unconquerable appetite. He's fantasizing. Then he's obsessing. I must have it. Who is it? Well, will you listen to your servant, man? He's trying to tell you out loud. It's Bathsheba. She's married. She's married to Uriah. Not only so, look. She's Ahithophel's granddaughter. Oh, no. The daughter of Eliam. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel. Do you know who Ahithophel is? He's David's most loyal friend. He's David's most trusted confidant. He's the man who guards and guides the missions for David to go on. Because he hears from the Lord, do not sleep with another man's wife. And do not sleep with Uriah's wife. Uriah is one of your 37 most noble warriors. And Bathsheba's the granddaughter of Ahithophel. What are you thinking of, man? But you see, thinking goes out the window when fantasy and obsession takes place. I want her. I'll have her. No matter what. And so he commits adultery. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. You're going to murder a marriage here. You're in big trouble. Listen, lust is not a game. My wife wanted me to tell you that modern technology at your fingertips is a mighty dangerous thing, as well as being a mighty useful thing. It struck me. It could well be that someone looking at his phone or looking at her phone might convince everyone you're actually reading the Bible when you could actually be looking at pornography, even in church. Lust. The lust of the eyes. What a terrible thing. The lust of the flesh. The pride of life. You arrogant. I suppose I'd be excommunicated and never allowed to stand on a platform again if I swore. Number two, lies, cover up, deceit, pretense, manipulation, and treachery. This is what the Bible says. So David sent word to Joab, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab was doing and how the people were doing and how the war was going. You phony. You two-faced hypocrite. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. Liar, that's not what you want. And Uriah went out of the king's house, and there followed him a present from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. When they told David, Uriah did not go down to his house. David said to Uriah, have you not come from a journey? What a phony this man is. He's not come from a journey, he's come from a war. Why did you not go down to your house? Uriah said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah dwell in booths. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do this thing. And David said to Uriah, remain here today also, and tomorrow I will send you back. So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. And David invited him, and he ate in his presence and drank, so that he made him drunk. And in the evening he went out to lie on his couch with the servants of his lord, but did not go down to his house. This is a whole web of lies. A whole pit of deceit. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. You have to remember your lies, you know. Oh, yes, you do. Lies, pretense, deceit, manipulation. Send for Uriah. How's it going, old fella? How's Joab?
How's things down there? That's not his intention at all, is it? Oh, go home and wash your feet and sleep with your wife. Take your armor off. He doesn't do it. He will not do it. Why didn't you go and sleep with your wife? The Ark of the Covenant. My general, Joab. My fellow soldiers, the battle, Israel. Oh, come on, stay for a while, have a drink. And servants, make sure you fill that cup full. The red wine, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. But listen to this, and don't forget it. A drunken Hittite had more integrity than the man after God's own heart. More integrity than the king of Israel. Even drunk, he will not go and lie with his wife. You know why? He may be a foreigner, but he's not a fool. He could smell a rat a mile off. Hey, listen. You who are sleeping with other people, do you think nobody knows about it? Do you? Really? Think you can hide it? Think it won't come out? Think you can sweep it under the mat and it'll go away? You're a fool if you think that. Be sure your sin will find you out. Cover up, deceit, pretense, manipulating a situation, manipulating people, using people, and downright treachery. Number three. Loss. Loss of all credibility. Loss of all respect. And loss of the blessing of the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter he wrote, set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting and then draw back from him that he may be struck down and die. I mean, think about this, will you please? He gives him a sealed envelope. He has so much confidence, so much trust in Uriah the Hittite, that he can give him his own death warrant and he will know that he won't open it. He's such a man of integrity. This Uriah the Hittite, mentioned in one of the great valiant soldiers of David's reign, could be totally trusted. He's got a letter to Joab signing his own death warrant. And as Joab was besieging the city, he assigned Uriah to the place where he knew there were valiant men. So here he is in the forefront with valiant men. And the men of the city came out and fought with Joab, and some of the servants of David among the people fell. Uriah the Hittite also died. Then Joab sent and told David all the news about the fighting, and he instructed the messenger, when you have finished telling all the news about the fighting to the king, then if the king's anger rises, and if he says to you, why did you go so near the city to fight? Did you not know what they would shoot from the wall? Who killed Abimelech, the son of Jerubasheth? Did not a woman cast and up a millstone on him from the wall so that he died at Thebes? Why did you go so near the wall? And you shall say, your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and told David all that Joab had sent to him to tell. The messenger said to David, "The men gained an advantage over us and came out against us in the field, but we drove them back to the entrance of the gate. Then the archers shot at your servants from the wall. Some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also." Listen to this. David said to the messenger, "Thus you shall say to Joab, do not let this matter trouble you. For the sword devours now one and now another. Strengthen your attack against the city and overthrow it. And encourage him." Can you believe this? And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she lamented over her husband, did she? Was this part of the act with it? And when the mourning was over, David sent and brought her to his house, and she became his wife and bore him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Look at this loss of all credibility. General Joab, I'm going to keep this letter. It's going to come in handy one day. When David has something to say against me, I'm going to get this letter out and just remind him what he did. And they'd never lost a battle. And these valiant men would never do anything as foolish as they were being told to do. And it's not just Uriah the Hittite, but other valiant men. There are lots of widows in Jerusalem because of David's lust and because of David's lies. Listen to me, friend, please. You go home, go down to Sefton Park Lake, will you? Do me a favor, get a half brick and then throw it in the water and just watch what happens. You just watch the ripple after ripple after ripple after ripple after ripple after ripple after ripple. There are consequences. Loss of credibility. Loss of all respect. We'll have to find out in the coming weeks. I mean, think about it. He loses his family straight away. Straight away. There's incest in the home. There's murder in the home. Absalom, his favorite, becomes a traitor. There's civil war in the land. The enemies of the Lord are all rejoicing over this. And if you can get to the end of the story, here he is, he at 50 years of age, virtually his effective ministry is over. Do you know what we find? If you're into pornography, you better listen to this. Do you know what we find? We find David looking years older than he is, trudging up a hill with no energy. His kingdom in absolute chaos. Eventually, his son hanging from a tree and then murdered. Lamenting with a lament that the whole of Jerusalem can hear. "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." He loses two children. The baby that's born to Bathsheba and Absalom. Don't you dare play fast and loose with sin. Do you know what they do? When he's an old man, they say, "Find one of the young women. Go and find one of those shapely young things. Let this shapely young thing lie with this old man. See if she can comfort him. See if she can help him." That's how he dies. But this is the most painful thing. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. David.
You wrote psalms. You danced before the Lord. David, that day, that look, that act, those lies were done in God's immediate, conscious presence. In the presence of him who is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity and cannot look upon sin. Sinned against light. Sinned against truth. Sinned against conscience. Sinned against grace. With your best friend's wife. And the thing displeased the Lord. Do you know he did this and lived for a whole year? A whole year he lives a lie. Everyone thinks it's fine, but it's not. He's a pretender. Oh yes, I'm the great pretender. Laughing and gay like a clown, I seem to be. What I'm not, you see. And the blessing and the smile and the favor of the Lord is removed. Lust. Lies. Loss. I wonder if you could take these lessons home, number one. And if you've been at Bridge Chapel a long time, you will have heard this many times. Here's a lesson. There are no great men of God. You hear me? There are no great men, no great women of God. There never have been, and there never will be. All there is are great sinners who are saved by great grace. Yes, I feel fairly strong and passionate about this. But if you think it's like, come on, let's take and tear a strip off someone, then you better remember the second lesson. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. That's what Paul wrote in Corinthians. In fact, the difference between standing and falling is taking heed. Taking notice. Not letting it go in one ear and out the other. Remember this lesson. There are always consequences. Always consequences. Remember this. You must keep your armor on. David took his armor off there in the bedroom. Uriah the Hittite kept his armor on. Wear your armor every day. Listen to me. This is what the Bible says. This is not some extremist preacher. This is what the Bible says. There is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The devil is after you. He will devour you if you let him.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Put on the belt of truth every day. Put on the breastplate of righteousness every day. Put on the helmet of salvation every day. Put on the shoes of gospel peace every day. Take the shield of faith every day. Quench the fiery darts of the devil every day. Take the weapon, the sword of the Spirit, every day, and use it offensively and defensively. Get thee behind me, Satan. Take the weapon of all prayer. And live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit and bear the fruit of the Spirit and be filled with the Spirit. And don't grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit, but be enlightened and empowered by the Spirit every day. Dave Webster sometimes takes us on a bike ride. It's very interesting. When you're riding uphill, she'll tell you what you better not do. You better not stop pedaling. What happens if you stop pedaling? You go backwards and you fall off. Wear your armor every day. Every day. Walk with God. Every single day. Pray for one another and be accountable to one another. You see, isn't it true that you and I, according to the Bible, our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked? Isn't that what the Bible says? Who can know it? If you're experienced here and you're praying, you might think this is a bit long for Bill. Maybe it is. So start praying that people will really listen to this. Listen, you and me. We are capable of anything. Yes, we are. So we need to be dressed in the armor of God and full of the Spirit of God. And we need to live at the cross. And remember that this sin didn't just happen. Crumbling's not an instant act. It's not a sudden change of ways. Dilapidation's processes are organized delays. There was once a little old man who used to come to this church who would walk like this. His name was George Creswell. He went to a building in Toxteth called Belvedere Road. He did some smelling. Then he did some testing. And he said, "This church is riddled with dry rot. We've got to do something about it. Because if we don't, it will crumble." Dilapidation's processes. Don't allow the crumbling. Don't let the dry rot of sin and lust eat away at you, pretending it's not bothering you. Become accountable. Pray with someone. Be accountable to your wife. Be accountable to your husband. Be accountable to your friends. Really accountable. And resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Lastly, this is what Jesus said. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Let's stand and sing.